Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But what we're doing is over the month of August, we're going to be talking about wandering in the wilderness. And when you look through the Bible, we find time and time again people who are wandering through the wilderness. Now, these people are actually going to be out in the wilderness, which is something that you'll see there. But and we know the wilderness is a place itself, but it's what the wilderness also represents in our lives. There's so much more that goes into that. So if you think of true wilderness, it's a harsh place. There are animals and creepy crawlies all around, and there are plants that can kill you, and you can just feel lost when you're wandering in this wilderness, and when you're out there, you feel alone. You can feel helpless. You can feel hopeless. Just when you think you're making headway, it seems to knock you back down. It can be a place where it truly is hard to survive. A place you are the most vulnerable, that you are at your weakest. And when you talk about wilderness in that aspect, I think most of us, if not all of us, can relate to that. We all have had moments where we have felt lost and alone. And it's a place where we're feeling weak, we feel overwhelmed, and we may even think there is no end in sight. There's no coming out of it this time. There's no way I'm going to make it through this wilderness in my life. But you have to know there's something beautiful about being in the wilderness. In the times when we're feeling stuck, lost, and weak, this is where you're going to find your true strength. And that's in God alone. And so we're going to go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians 12 is where we're starting. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 5 through 10, from the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I am using, we have some in the rows and we have a stack there in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you today. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Somebody asked me when we were putting the Bibles back out, they're like, we feel like we're missing a bunch of Bibles. I said, great, I hope they're taking them. I don't know if you know this, we give them away for free here, so... But we're going to go ahead and read 2 Corinthians 12, 5 through 10. It says, I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of the surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul is talking about how he has done so many amazing things. He has been given tasks by God, and he is being led by God, and we have seen him do awesome things through God. And he's just letting everybody know, I have been blessed by God. But Paul wants to talk about something even better. He wants to talk about his weaknesses. And that's like the last thing that we ever want to talk about. Well, I want to tell you my strengths. So what are your weaknesses? I don't know that I'm just too perfect. You know, like we have these, I don't want to actually talk about my true weaknesses here. But Paul, he says, I have this thorn that's in my flesh. And I want you to know, we have no clue what this thorn is that's in his flesh. It could be multiple things that we can look at. First could be, it could be a health problem. Truly something that makes his body hurt. It could be a person or group of people who are just causing havoc in his life. They are the thorn in his side. It could be situations in this life that are just beating him down that he has no control of. And I want you to know, every single scenario I just said, they all work here, and that's because we all go through horrible things in this life. It's going to happen. We have body pains. We have all had trouble with people. Maybe you're the troublemaker. We have all had issues in this life. We all have had situations that we cannot control. So we understand this pain that Paul is talking about. We understand the hardships that this world has to offer, but we see something different from Paul. It's not that all of these things are great and wonderful because he says, oh, I'm just going to be happy about it. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, no, this is a positive thing for one reason alone. Because yes, pain in the body is horrible. So I live with chronic pain. It is not fun. It is something that is very distracting. It is sometimes hard to worship God when all you say is, this just hurts. So I understand how it can feel horrible. But what Paul is saying, in these moments of hardship, in these moments of pain, in these moments out of our control, these are the moments that you will see God shine through. And we see here that Paul even pleads with God. He does it three times. He says, please, just take away this hardship. Take away this problem in my life. But God spoke back and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. This means that God gave us everything we truly need. He gave us love when we did not deserve it. He gives us grace for things that we have done wrong. He gives us grace for the things that we will do against him in the future. And we know through his grace and his grace alone, we are saved. We know we are redeemed. We are set free from our sins. And we get to be with God. That is what truly matters. That is everything. And God says, my grace is enough. No matter what your thorn is in this life, it cannot take away God's grace. And to truly know that is an amazing thing. Whatever you are struggling with today, I want you to understand that God is still there. God still loves you. And that He still has saved you. And then we get to this second part. God said that His power is made perfect in weakness. And we have that question of what does that even mean? So here is just this oversimplified version of what's being said. When we stop trying to do things ourselves in our own power, that is when we truly allow God to work. What you're doing is you're getting out of your own way. We are getting out of God's way. We are allowing God to work and for His plan to come through. Because when I think I'm strong, when I think I can handle it, it's not always me going to God and saying, thank you for this, or what do you want me to do? What do? I say, I got this. You just stand there. I'll take care of this problem. I can try and fix this one because I'm feeling strong. This isn't overwhelming. This is something I can handle. I can make it through, and you can just watch on the sidelines, and I'll call you in when I need you. But that's not the way it's supposed to be done. Because we have this awesome God. Yes, He gives us the strength, but He says, lean on me. And so what we need to do is when life is beating you down and you feel like you can't go on, what do? We cry out to Him. And we say, God, please help me. I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I don't know what to do. What's the next step? So we need to look at Him and say, you're in control. You got this because I don't. May your will be done and not my own. And that is why Paul says next, well, this is the truth being told, that yes, God is there and He will show His strength through my weakness, he says, that's fantastic then. Then I'm going to go ahead and just praise through my weakness. Why? Because when I'm weak, when I'm insulted, when I go through hardships, when I'm persecuted, when things are just difficult, I can say, God, You got this. Take it. Let You shine through. Because how many times do we come out the other side and they're like, how did you make it through? And we go, well, I just fought real hard. No. Instead, it should be, how'd you make it through? I didn't. He got me through. He's the one that made it happen. It wasn't me at all. I would have crumbled. I'd have been a puddle on the floor. And it's all because His strength shined through in those really, really hard times. And this really can get you pumped up and ready for the fight of life. You read this and you're like, when I'm weak, He's strong. That's fantastic. But when it actually gets dark, when you really have those pains, it's really hard to remember these words. We say, yeah, God is good, but everything just hurts. God is good, but I don't see the end. And God is good, but I'm tired of being in this situation. It's too much for us to handle. So we need to see what we can do. So we're going to look at Jesus in the wilderness because He gives us some practical things to do while we're in those moments of the wilderness. So let's turn to Matthew 4. We're going to go to Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. But before we read these verses, we need to know what happened before this. Because everybody was flying high. Everything was awesome. Everything was great. So John the Baptist, he came out and he's preparing the way. He's telling the people the Messiah is going to come. Everyone's excited. They're like a Savior, the one we've been waiting for. And then Jesus shows up and he says, I need to be baptized as well. And John, he resists because he's like, I'm not even worthy to untie your sandals. And Jesus says, no, it's good. This is a great and wonderful thing. Let's do it. And so they go in the river, probably not as cold as it was for us, but they get in the river, and then Jesus is baptized, and God sends a dove down, and He says, this is My Son, whom I love. And everybody's like, this is fantastic. This is so awesome and amazing. And everybody's like, it's great. But what happens after? What happens when it's not so amazing and awesome anymore? And that's what we're going to read here in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. So these first two verses are the struggle. So what we have here is Jesus is in the wilderness. He's in a desolate place alone. Jesus is out in the harsh environment. And then on top of that, Jesus has not eaten for 40 days. If you have ever not eaten for a long period of time, it will affect you more than you think. It is so hard to think straight. You feel so weak. It's like to the point where you don't even want to get up anymore. Your arms and your legs are heavy. And because of that, that plays a mental toll on you. And all you think about is food, food, food. I need this. And your stomach is eating itself. And it just hurts all the time. What truly is happening is your body is dying. It's breaking down. But just as Paul said here, when we are weak, God is strong. So knowing that Jesus is in the wilderness and in this state of suffering in his body, this is when the devil thought, perfect time. This is when I'm going to get him. He is weak. He is struggling physically. He is alone. He is out in the wilderness. It's time to drag Jesus' spirit down. It's time to turn Jesus against God. And we see the devil offers Jesus what? He offers them comforts. Things to ease the pain. Some easy fixes. Well, you're hungry. You have the power, Jesus. Turn that stone into bread. And the truth is, you can say, well, who will know? Nobody will be here to see what you've done. Nobody will judge you on this because it's just you. It's just you and God. So do what you need to do to make you feel better. And when we look at these verses for what's truly happening here, it really is a smack in the face. Because in those moments when I am alone and I'm feeling defeated and weak, I find myself looking for a quick fix, looking for a way just to relieve some of the pain and the stress. And it may not be what God wants me to do. But when we try to do it on our own, we become desperate. As people, when we are suffering, we become desperate to the point where we search for any relief. But that's not what God's asking us to do. And we see here in verse 4, Jesus responds with, it's not about food. It's not about my hunger. It's not about my body falling apart and being weak. It's all about following God. Yes, food may sustain me for another day. But the Word of God, the truth that we read right here in this Bible, that's what will truly sustain you. Yes, my body is weak, but God has everything I truly need. And this also points to Jesus' fasting. So fasting is something we can do to draw closer to God. Many people will skip a meal, and during that time where they would either be cooking or eating that meal, they'll spend that time with God instead. They skip that food. Or maybe they'll take a few days straight of not eating, and they spend all of that time just talking to God when they would normally be eating. They would pray. They would worship Him. They'd read God's Word. So fasting is giving up the food to spend time with God. If Jesus would have turned a stone to bread, He would literally be doing the opposite of what fasting is for. Because obviously it was a call by God that He needs to fast here. And if He were to just say, sorry God, I'm going to skip this moment with you to eat some bread, it's the opposite of what He's trying to accomplish here. And since Jesus is physically weak here, the temptations are not going to just stop with physical wants. And we see in verse 5 and 6, the devil pretty much tells Jesus, take control. He tells Jesus, just jump from the highest point because you have the power. You have God. You can easily just call upon Him to do what you want. And this plays off of our pride. But when you really look at it, it doesn't seem so negative. Because it's almost like when a bro builds you up, you know? Like, oh, I'm not feeling great, things are rough, it's not going well, I don't know what to do. And they're like giving you that pep talk like in every dude movie out there. They're like, you're in charge here. You got this. You're a lion among men. No one can stop you. Show them what you got. And right now you're weak and they're saying, just step up and be strong. Show us how awesome you are. Show me how you handle this. And take control. And Jesus responds with, no one is supposed to test God. No one is just to go out and do what we want and then say, it's okay, I'm allowed, I have God. Don't worry about it. No, we do not tell God what to do. We do not challenge God to do things for us. And so I heard something really deep and true, and it seems so simple, but when I heard it, it kind of was just like, boom, brain exploding. Someone said to me, I follow Jesus, he does not follow me. And I'm like, that's so simple, but amazing. I follow Jesus, he doesn't follow me. And we need to always do that with God. We need to follow where God leads us, to do as God tells us, not to just live our lives and make all our decisions and then say, hey, God, so I got in a big mess. Can you just come in and fix it now? Okay, because I'm going to live my life and then I'll pull you in to this relationship because it's not going well. I'm going to then pull you in to this job because it's not doing what I want. I'm going to pull you in because I'm not getting the satisfaction that I want. That is completely backwards. We're to go to God first. Do not tell God what you want and say, make it happen. No, we're to follow him completely. And again, this is while Jesus is in the wilderness here. And I'm sure Jesus could have done that. He could have said, God, catch me, as he jumped over the side here. But what he's saying is, it's not my will. It's God's. I'm going to do what he wants. And then we get this last temptation in verses 8 and 9. And the devil says, look, I understand your life right now, it's bad. You literally have nothing. You have no food. You have no shelter. You have no friends and family. You have nothing in this life. And the devil says to him, just follow me, and I will give you all the comforts of this world. You will have anything that you could dream of. But you have to do one thing. You have to give up God and just worship me. And all that pain, all that suffering you're going through, it'll stop. When I read this again and I was doing my studies, I'm like, man, the devil's mean. He's so cruel. When we're at our lowest of lows, when we're wandering in the wilderness, what do we want? Comfort of any kind. We want people to love on us. Why? Because we feel alone and we're hurting. We want things that we think will fix our issues. And we just want maybe a moment of reprieve from this wilderness that we're living in. And too often we look to other things for that satisfaction. I have heard on too many occasions people say, you don't understand. I need this thing. It's the only thing that keeps me functioning. It's the only thing that I find satisfaction in this life. They say things like, you know what, I've suffered enough, right? So I'm just going to do what I want. Or they just say, you know what, I don't really care anymore. Everything stinks, everything hurts, nothing works out well, so I'm going to just do this or that, because what does it matter? But every time they go that direction, it never truly takes them out of the wilderness. What it is, it's a temporary distraction. And you'll find yourself, by the end of it, further away from God because you're not following him. You're looking for satisfaction through things in this world. You're following your own wants. And so what we get here is Jesus' response. He says, get away from me. But it's not just like that. I can't imagine. You know those moments where you're already hurting and someone's tempting you with something, and what do? You yell it. You leave me alone. Get away from me. I don't want you here. You're wrong. This is not helpful. No matter how bad this earth gets, no matter how much my body is suffering, Jesus says, I will worship God and follow and serve him alone. And this goes back to what we read from Paul. Why? Because God's grace, God's love, being with God is the only thing that truly matters. And what Jesus did here is Jesus used the Word of God to stay strong. He didn't say, I'm just going to power through. He's also Jesus. He could have. But what we're seeing here is his body was weak. And he said, you know what? I'm going to lean on the Father. I'm going to show you what it's like to suffer and stay strong for God. And we need to pull it straight out of here, out of God's Word in the Bible. He used this to fight. It truly kept him strong. Why? Because when we're weak, God's power shines through. And then I want you to know there is an end. The wilderness is not forever. Verse 11, it says, the devil left, the temptation left, and the wilderness ended. And it says that angels attended him. Or you can say that God came to him and lifted him up. Sadly, the wilderness is a reality that we all face. It's a broken world full of broken people. And that's what makes this whole place the wilderness. The question is, what will you do when you're weak and lost in the wilderness? Will you follow God? Because when we follow God at our weakest, we can see Him truly working. And I want to say to you, your wilderness someday will end. Will you come out of the wilderness stronger with God or farther away from Him? And when you are farther away from Him, I imagine you're also coming out with more scars, more hurt. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. I don't know if you're in the wilderness right now, or if it's something that's going to come, or you just came out the other side. All I want to say to you is, we will all be in the wilderness someday, if not today. And what I want to tell you is that if you are in the wilderness, go to God. Seek Him. Seek His will. Praise Him in the hardships. Follow Him, and not your own wants and desires. And you will find yourself closer to God than you have ever been before. Now, I know that we talked about wandering the wilderness and how Jesus handled things. And a lot of people say, well, that's Jesus. Well, don't worry. We're going to go over some people in the Bible that were in the wilderness. And yeah, they weren't as strong, but God saw them through. God worked with them. God helped them. And so take that encouragement that even though you're in the wilderness, God is with you. Follow Him. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your guidance, for Your love. Too often we try to do things on our own. We try to do it in our own power, and it just falls so short. I pray that while we are struggling, while we are in that wilderness, we can look to You. We can say, God, I'm here. You're awesome. You're amazing. And I know You're here as well. I pray that we can share that truth that we know that God is with us, with everyone we meet. There are so many people in this life that are just out there suffering and having the hardest time in their life, and they're trying to do it without You. And I pray that we can be that light and show the truth that God is there even in the darkest moment. We love You and we thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from Lead Minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.